Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
You okay?
Well, I don't know. I just sometimes you just wonder whether he did the right thing or not, you know.
We're on the air right now, Mr. Bozell. If you want to keep talking? Do you want to keep talking, Mr. Bozell?
Yes, sir. That's fine. Since that I've been married 17 years, I always try to do the right thing. And I always seem to come up short.
What you told me was, and my audience has joined us, you told me you walked into the house after getting good news, right?
Yes, sir. I had my test back. I'd had some chest pains back in October. My doctor had me going for a full physical, and I got everything back was normal. My cholesterol is normal. My blood work's normal. I was very concerned. I was very worried, so it's quite a load off my mind. And as I came home, and my wife was there with some women from the kids' school. They were doing a cookie exchange, which is what they do to raise money for the school. And again, you have to understand my mood. I was feeling good, and I made a comment to Dee Dee Young, who works with my wife on school projects. I said, "Hey, Dee Dee," because I noticed when I came in. And I said, "Hey, Dee Dee, nice camel toe." And it was there for everybody to see. I went into the kitchen to get a beer, and I went upstairs to take a shower.
And that's when your wife sought you out, right?
But she didn't just seek me out. She lit into me, told me I had no class. Told me I was crude, rude. I didn't have any breeding, all this. Here I am. I had a great day.
Now, you had said to Dee Dee Young, who's a friend of your wife's, nice camel toe?
Yeah. First of all, I did it for two reasons. I didn't think it was that terrible of a thing to say. I was just like telling somebody they got a cowlick or they got something stuck between their teeth. And also because I was in a good mood, so I just said something off the tip of the top of my head.
You thought you were doing the lady a favor?
Yes, sir. I mean, yes, sir. I thought she was going to go get up and walk out in the street. Looked like she'd been sitting on a bar stool all afternoon, which I know Dee Dee very well. She's a good woman. She loves her children. She's walking out with a camel toe. People think she's had a rear end parked on a bar stool all afternoon, wearing tight pants. I made a harmless comment. I was feeling good. I said I saw camel toe.
Why did you think that was harmless, Steve? Just out of...
Well, are you telling me that it's not?
Well, I don't want to commit to any... Why did you think it was harmless?
Well, I don't think there's any difference between telling a woman she has a camel toe and she's got food stuck between her teeth. I was making a comment that I thought would be helpful, and she's got this thing, you put a quarter there. Now come to find out these people, they've canceled their contract with me. It's a $70,000 addition to their home, they've canceled the contract.
Now, the people that have canceled this contract, the wife was the one who you said this comment to, right?
That's the Youngs, yeah. Bob and Dee Dee.
Bob and Dee Dee Young have canceled this $70,000 contract. You're a construction contractor, right?
Yes, I am. And that's the other thing, sir. I mostly do commercial. I hardly ever do any residential anymore, but I did this as a favor to them. And also because I wanted to take my wife on a cruise. And the money would come in handy.
How much was this worth? This was a bid for...
It was about $70,000.
And it was a bid for a new family room or something?
Yeah, sliders. And just because I said to this woman, nice camel toe, they take $70,000 out of my pocket. They make it virtually impossible for me to take my wife on a cruise. The cruise company won't give me my deposit back. I was feeling so good. And now...
Okay.
And the other thing that about the cruise I wanted to take my wife on was that her father's never thought much of me. My wife's father, my father-in-law, has always thought that I was just nothing. And I wanted to show him how good I treat his daughter, and that's out the window now. He comes over on Thanksgiving. He wants to carve the turkey. He's telling me what to do. He calls me soft. He calls me emotional.
All right. Steve, you walked into the room. You saw one of your wife's friends. You said, hey, nice camel toe. You went up and took a shower. Your wife came in and screamed at you, and that was the first that you knew you'd done something wrong.
That was the first I knew I'd done something wrong.
As far as you're concerned, telling a woman nice camel toe is the same as saying you got some food stuck between your teeth.
I was trying to do the woman a favor. You see people go out into these women, go out in the public with their capri pants all sucked up. And I was trying to do her a favor.
Now, this lawsuit that you're filing is rather comprehensive, isn't it?
You better believe it. I'm suing them the Youngs for breach of contract. They got no right to cancel the contract with me just because I said the guy's wife, you know, had camel toe. It wasn't like I'm trying to say I'm hot for or anything. I'm also suing the Ensenada Empress Cruise Lines for not giving me back my deposit. And also, and this is the most painful part, Mr. Henry, I'm forced to sue my own father-in-law as a preemptive civil measure. Against him in case he tries to emotionally abuse me, I will have a legal order of restraint. That's physical against him, not verbal. So I will try to get a legal order of restraint so that he can't give me a hard time for not taking his daughter on a cruise, and also he won't be able to give me a hard time no more at Thanksgiving. I'm suing the cruise line because I could have taken the cruise, but they won't give me my deposit back. And I'm suing the Youngs because they canceled the contract, and also because they got no sense of humor, and all I said was a nice camel toe.
Okay, this is a lot of stuff to think of. I'm going to give our phone number out here, sir, and see if our audience has a comment on it.
That doesn't make any difference to me, sir. I just came on to tell my story because my attorney asked me to call some radio stations, and that's what I'm doing.
Okay, but I give my phone number out in case people want to talk about it, okay?
I just don't understand what's the matter with people. If I had my pants all shoved up, I would want someone to tell me. If I had my, and I'm sure you would too.
I don't really care. If my pants are all the way up my, you know what, I'm going to pull them down. I can generally feel it.
Well, I'm just trying to do her a favor.
All right, well, I'll give our number out. It's 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. This is a lawsuit. How much money are you asking in total from the Ensenada Empress Cruise Lines, from the Youngs, and from your father-in-law?
My attorney has the entire complaint, but I believe we're asking in excess of $10 million. $10 million for emotional distress, $10 million for breach of contract, $10 million for verbal abuse.
Do you really think it's worth suing over something like this?
I don't know what else I can do. I don't know what else I can do. I came home feeling good, and all of a sudden, my wife tells me I'm a piece of, I don't have any class, I don't have any manners, I'm uncouth, I'm a boor. Why did I say this? I said, what did I say? She said, you said to Dee Dee, nice camel toe, you don't ever say that.
Well, you do know that you're referencing a very private thing, right?
You know, let me ask you something, a very private thing. You go down here to any of the restaurants in the area that we live in, and women have their cleavage. They're showing that.
Yeah, but you don't go up to a woman and say, nice cleavage, do you?
Some men do.
I've never heard a man say, nice cleavage to a woman.
Some men do. Some men notice it and go, you know, you got a nice pair or whatever.
Well, I've never heard that. I mean, you're in the construction business. Maybe some of the guys are a little rowdy.
Well, I don't know. Some of my guys are rowdy. But if it was so private, why does she wear her pants like that? It made the thing sticking out and everything.
I think it's a rude thing to say, Steve. I got to be honest with you, okay? Okay?
Yeah.
All right. I think it's a rude thing to say. I don't know whether you're going to win the breach of contract suit. So because you said this about the guy's wife having a camel toe or whatever, he has canceled his contract.
He has canceled his contract, a $70,000 addition to the back of his home, which with that money I would take my wife on an Ensenada cruise, on an Ensenada Empress cruise, and then her father wouldn't think that I'm just some silly son of a bitch.
Her father thinks you're a silly son of a bitch?
Daddy always wonders why I married you.
Well, you sound like a successful businessman. You have your own contracting company, correct?
Yes, sir.
And you do commercial business and residential business. It's just the fact that you had a misjudgment there, I would say. You don't see that?
I don't see that at all, no, sir, Mr. Henry. I can tell you I've been around people my whole life, and you go up to a woman and say, hey, you got a camel toe working there. Hey, you know what? Most women just laugh it off.
Do you know Ms. Young?
I know her husband.
But you don't know her?
I don't know what that has to do with it.
Going up to a woman that you don't even know and saying that?
I can assure you, Mr. Henry, I don't know what you know about business, but it's very, you can say that. It's not a big deal.
All right, Steve, hold on. 1-800-449-8686. He walked into this man, Mr. Bozell, a construction contractor, walked into his home where his wife was entertaining some female friends, and he saw one of the women, and he said, hey, nice camel toe. And apparently she took great offense. His wife got upset with him. They've canceled a $70,000 contract, construction contract. He's going to sue them for breach of contract. He's suing a cruise line because he can't take his wife on a cruise now because the money he was looking for from that contract's not forthcoming. Sometimes I think we're doing people's court here, you know? I really sometimes, some of those situations that we hear on this show, in addition, he's going to sue his own father-in-law, a man who he says has been emotionally abusive to him in the past and is sure to be again once he finds out that he's not taking his daughter on a cruise, and therefore he's going to try and preempt that abuse by filing a restraining order on him. He's asking for $10 million from the cruise line, from the neighbors, and from his father-in-law. Do you think it's rude of a man to say something like that to a woman, especially a woman he doesn't know? Or is it simply like telling somebody you've got some food stuck between your teeth or you got a little food on your chin? 1-800-449-8686. The phrase was, nice camel toe, by the way. 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil Hendry Show. Extreme Radio.
Stephen Bozell, a construction contractor involved in a lawsuit. This is a personal lawsuit against not only a member of your own family, Mr. Bozell, some neighbors who were friends of your wife's, and a cruise company. And I feel it necessary to explain to people, since we have had a couple of calls, what a camel toe is.
I
could probably do it. It's when clothing gets caught in a certain crevice of the body, shall we say. And that's about it, right?
Yes, sir. And Mr. Henry, there are certain things as human beings I think we should say to each other. Tell each other you got something in your teeth. Telling people that you got your button undone, your fly is undone, or something in your nose. Or if you've got your clothes are shoved up the crack. And this Dee Dee Young could have really scared some people with that thing, too, because she's not a thin woman. And I think you know what I'm talking about. She's a heavy woman. And that is scary. That is something that can frighten anyone.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. $10 million you want from your father-in-law, the Ensenada Empress Cruise Lines, and the Youngs, because they were going to have you build a family room for them, and now they've canceled. George, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello?
Yeah, this is George.
Go ahead, George.
Hey, I think that what you did, Steve, was very rude. And you need to take responsibility for your own actions. Quit blaming everyone else. Father-in-law probably knows you better than you know yourself because you're running around whining like a little kid, blaming everyone else and trying to sue for millions of dollars. And that's just typical of what's going on in this country where people refuse to take responsibility for their own actions. Move on.
Wouldn't you want me to tell you that you had food on your face or food stuck in your teeth?
You don't look at somebody's wife the minute you go through a front door and stare at private parts and then make a comment about it. If anybody had done that to your wife, you would have punched them in the face.
I would have.
Now, that's a very good comment. What would you do if somebody had done that to your wife?
I wouldn't have done nothing. I would have thought he was being helpful.
Helpful?
You would have said, thank you very much for staring at my wife's private parts. I don't think so.
I'll tell you what's rude. That Dee Dee Young walked around with what looked like that thing, and she's very overweight. She's very overweight.
But that is her business. I mean, if her husband loves her the way she is, how she looks is really none of your business.
Oh, I don't think
but
that
now,
her husband...
But now he has to worry about how you're going to look at his wife and what kind of comments you're going to make while you're working at his house and he's at home. So I can see why he would cancel the contract. He doesn't want you running around his house staring at his wife's private parts making comments.
Sir,
that's common sense.
Sir, I got to tell you, I am a happily married man. I love my wife very much. I would never in a million years do that. I felt good. I just had a physical.
Yeah, you explained all of that, but then you walked in, you looked at the guy's wife, and you said, nice camel toe.
That's the first thing through the door. Right. Not, I love you, honey, I missed you, but you stare at somebody else's woman and making a comment about her private parts.
Okay, let me ask you this.
Think about it.
I'll tell you what, don't you think this is equally rude to come over to my house when you're weighing about 180 pounds, you got your pants pulled up so high that everything you can see. Don't you think that's rude?
I don't think, if the lady feels comfortable dressing like that, and she's got clothing on, what is wrong with that? If she's comfortable.
Aren't I allowed to say anything like, Jesus, you know, can't you maybe let a little air in between your skin and those pants?
Look, do you understand what this man is saying?
What?
The first thing through the door, not, hi, honey, I'm home, not, where are the kids, but, hey, Dee Dee, nice camel toe.
That means you walk through that door and you stare right at that lady's private parts.
You think I was staring at her you-know-what?
That's the first thing you did when you walked through the door. Now, your wife has to be wondering what you're thinking about.
Well, and George... Yeah.
I tell you, George, you can't miss it. If you came over to my house, you'd be on my side. You can't even miss this woman.
Okay, come on. Enough comments about the wait, all right? George, thank you very much. 1-800...
Well, I don't... Are you married, George?
Yes, I am married. Okay. And I can see exactly how this person would be very upset. And I still, you need to take responsibility. Apologize to the lady.
Exactly.
Grow up and move on.
My God, she's a walking magazine rack, and I can't say anything.
All right.
You need to grow up.
Okay, George,
thanks. It's none of your business.
Right.
It's not your wife.
1-800-449-8686. Steve Bozell, construction contractor from Corona, California, walked into his home, looked at a friend of his wife and said, nice camel toe. And now, a result of that comment...
I've lost a contract. I have lost two friends. My father-in-law is going to think that I'm a piece of garbage like he usually does. I can't take my wife on a cruise all on account of some people don't... I even when I try to be helpful.
And that's why you were crying when you called our show.
You said you wouldn't mention anything.
But that's why you were crying.
Because even when I try to be helpful.
Let's go to Mary Frances. You're on the Phil Henry Show, Mary Frances. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Good, ma'am, good.
You know, I don't think this man's malicious, but he's got to be completely socially inept. You don't tell a woman that she's got camel toe. That's rude. That's insulting. She can't do anything about it. What's she going to do?
Ma'am.
I understand that you think it's like being helpful.
Yes, ma'am.
But it's not, and that's what you have to understand.
All you have to do
is the real world. It's not, and I cannot find a single woman. You say in the business world? I understand the business world, every level of it. And no woman at any level would ever want to hear that. And I would look at you like you were the biggest freak on the face of the earth if you said that to me, and I would be offended.
Wait a minute. All you
and the reason that you want to sue other people for your, you know, lack of judgment in what you say... Take responsibility, man. Get over it. You made a mistake, and you're going to pay the consequences for it. And the cruise line and anybody else, no, it's not their fault that you said something inappropriate. And you know what? If you said it to me, I'd be like, what kind of idiot is this? And I probably would not want to hire you anyway. I understand you're trying to be helpful, and you're not malicious. That's fine. Understand that it's wrong. It's inappropriate.
Ma'am, if a gal has a problem with her pants getting stuck up in that area, she could put something there so the fabric can't go there, like a plastic shield or a plate.
She's going to walk in with a plastic shield or a plate any better?
Ma'am, I would rather have Ma'am, I'd rather have my wife with a glass casserole dish cover or something down there instead of walking around for every man on God's good green earth to look right up her thing and everything
and
like
I'm
that.
Glad you would, sir. But you know what? Most women don't want to be told that because it means A, you're looking there. B, it's just rude. It's inappropriate. And I'm glad you feel that way.
But what about women that do it on purpose and want men to see their everything down there?
You know what? They want to do that. It's the same reason women wear low-cut shirts. Are you going to walk up to him with both that trunk right. Say, excuse me, right. Ma'am, I can see your boobs. You look like a slut. No.
Okay, thanks, Mary Frances.
1-800.
Okay, 1-800-449-8686. This guy said to a woman, nice camel toe, and as a result, he has lost some business contacts. He's suing. He is suing because he thought he was being helpful to her by saying nice camel toe. 1-800-449-8686. That's the number.
Famous Phil Henry Show. Show 1-800-449-8686.
I can only hope that this never happens again, and that's what the work that I've been doing with some of the people who've helped me develop some of these things.
Now, you've also said you're going to sue TP Sporting Goods for selling the Lycra tights that Ms. Young was wearing when you told her about her problem.
Nice camel toe, and she was wearing these Lycra tights that they had sold her. Yes, sir.
Stephen Bozell with us. He is a construction contractor suing his father, a cruise line, and the Youngs of Corona, California, because they canceled contracts with him after he said, "Hey, Dee Dee, nice camel toe." He was talking about the man's wife, Miss Dee Dee Young. You've also come up, what is the camel sneaker?
The camel sneaker is something that I hope to make available. Right now, I've been speaking with Alta Sporting Goods and a number of other sporting good lines in the Southwest that I hope I can put in the sporting goods store.
And what is the camel sneaker?
It's a dish. It's a Pyrex. It's a Pyrex. What I want to say, transparent dish that sits down in the crotch area, much like a man's cup that will...
Why is it transparent?
We made it transparent in case she, you know, her husband and her want to make love or whatever. She takes it off. Well, now she don't have to take it off right away because he can see everything. So,
all right, I don't want to know any more about this.
Well, your producer said that I could give a phone number out.
That's fine. I don't want to give any. Here is Brandon on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello, Brandon. Hello.
Yeah, hi, Phil. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
The first time caller. Anyway, I'm a student at the University of Utah. And my dad owns three construction companies. He owns apartment buildings all over the West Coast. He's very successful. He would have absolutely never said anything like this. If you want to go say something like this to a woman, go to a nightclub. I'm a big believer in modesty, and I think that there's a proper way about going about things. If you didn't want this lady in your home because she goes against your morals, you can politely ask her to leave because she's not dressed appropriately. My dad at one of his businesses, He had an employee he was working for him who was dressed very inappropriately, very immodest, and he actually went to his top manager and said, "Please have this lady change her clothing, dress more modestly, or she's not going to be here working anymore." Okay,
I try to deal with a sense of humor. I try to go with a sense of humor. Hey, nice camel toe, or you're taking my picture, or something like that. I don't want to come off like I've got Mr. Tight Ass here, and you know I'm a Bible thumper or nothing like that.
Well, you're wrong. I mean, it's just so inappropriate. You need to learn some social skills. Listen to what the lady said before. You know, you're not malicious or whatever, but it's just so wrong to do that. I can't believe you can't see that. And you're up in the clouds if you're going to think you're going to get a dime from anybody. Go to your father-in-law and tell him you screwed up and ask for forgiveness. He's going to get close to him. All you're doing is building a gap between you and your father a lot more.
No, he's always said to my wife, I'm a loser and I'm too emotional and everything else, even though I got a successful business. Now I was going to try to impress him by taking his daughter on a cruise, and now because of this woman flashing toe all over my living room, I won't be able to take her, and now he'll think I'm a loser.
You know, I can't believe you're not seeing where you're wrong. The real person, the victim here, more so than the lady and her husband, is your wife. I feel so bad for her. How totally embarrassing. If my dad ever said that to a woman and my mom found out, I would be so embarrassed to my dad. I'd be so angry at him. And I guarantee you, 100%, he never would say something like that.
So everybody's telling me I'm wrong, and nobody says to Dee Dee Young, "Hey, why don't you wear some pants where you're not showing off
your toes?" You could have said that in an appropriate way, and you don't have to feel like a big Bible person or whatever you said. There's an appropriate way of behaving, and you behaved wrong.
Now, what is this camel sneaker? Are you kidding?
I think that the time has come for women to start wearing something down there so that they don't gross everybody out. That's all I'm saying. Nobody says nothing about that. Everybody calls in and calls me wrong because I said, you know, how about taking your toe outside and everything like that?
I don't think you're wrong for having a belief that women should dress modestly. In fact, in Arizona, there's a big movement where the teenagers are lobbying Dillard's to produce more modest clothes. That's not the point. The point is you went about it wrong, okay? Lots of people listening agree with you that maybe women shouldn't dress that revealing.
So I should have said something. I don't know what I'm supposed to say.
Later on, you can say, just leave the room, go in, get a beer, go upstairs, what are you going to do? Later on, you say to your wife, "Hey, honey, you know, that Dee Dee, man, did you see the pants she was wearing? Maybe one of you girls ought to say something to her."
Absolutely.
Oh, okay, so now I'm not allowed free speech in my own home.
It ain't about free speech, Charlie. It's about being, like this guy's saying, appropriate. Okay, listen, Brandon, good points. Thanks for calling.
Hey, thanks.
All right, man. Bye-bye.
That guy was from Utah, and I will bet you dollars to donuts that he was a Mormon telling me all about everything that he told me.
Well, whatever the cat was, I think the guy was making some sense, sir.
Well, maybe next time I'll just give my... What I should do is give the camel sneaker sales pitch.
What are you talking about?
If I see a woman that has that, I could give the camel sneaker sales pitch.
Well, what is that?
It's basically just saying, first of all, I walked into the house and I saw Dee Dee, and I would say, Dee Dee, how are you doing? And she'd say, hi, Steve, I'm doing good. I said, hey, listen, I've got a product that Alta Sportswear is probably going to be put online here in about 2 months, and I'd like to give you and all the ladies here an opportunity at the camel sneaker. Now, no, not evermore will you be embarrassed about having the camel toe. And
no, man, no, 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 ain't gonna work.
I could pitch the product and pull one out of my back pocket. She could put it on there.
No, I don't think she's gonna put it on there, man. No. Gary, hi. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, hey, guy. Look, you know, it's just a matter of proper etiquette and good manners. And the truth is, if you're suing them, you're gonna get punished, because if you win, they're going to appeal it, and you're going to have to win again, and the chances are dead against you.
What do you mean,
you need
win
to let
again?
That thing go before you get slapped really hard for being so damn indignant.
What do you mean hit again?
If you're suing them, I'll tell you what, you lose. If you win, you're going to have to win again, because if I was them, I would appeal it. And the minute I appeal it and I win, I'm going to turn around and I'm going to bust your chops hard for being so darn rude. I know what you were saying, and I got all of that. But it's a matter of, you're in a situation, you can't win, you need to let it go.
Wait a second, what are they going to sue me for? I didn't do anything to them.
You're suing them, aren't you?
Yeah, well...
They could sue
okay,
you.
Okay, they turn around and file a countersuit against you. And I guarantee you, you got a bunch of women on that jury, and men, they're not going to go for you, guy. You're hurt.
How do you...
You're a losing situation, and what you're doing here is just... You can't win. It's a no-win situation for you.
My attorney is Dolores Blasingame of Riverside, California. She tells me that I have at least a good charge on the...
Who tells you that?
My attorney, Dolores Blasingame.
Your attorney.
Yes,
listen,
sir.
How do attorneys make money? By sucking scumbags in, telling them, yeah, you got a good chance, you're going to pay them. It doesn't matter whether you win or lose. She's still going to get paid.
Okay,
Dude, wake up. So in other words, you're in the business world, you know that.
So in other words, you let your wife walk right out into the world with the camel toe.
No, I wouldn't. I'd slap her ass if I caught her.
Okay.
It doesn't matter.
So,
but I tell you what, if somebody come in and was being rude, and it sounds to me like you were being awful rude, I tell you what, dude, I'd slap your ass.
Wait a second.
And I'm just an old redneck from Tampa, and you know, I see a lot of that kind of thing. But I don't run up and go, hey, you know. You know what I'm saying?
Well, wait a second.
I'm on your side, but I'm trying to tell you,
you need
to leave it alone.
I hear you very much. Do you think so? You say your wife has that problem?
Nope, my wife don't have that problem.
Because I've got this product called a camel sneaker.
Yeah, I heard that, man. It's kind of funny, but no kidding, guys.
What's funny about that?
Let this thing go, you're going to get hurt, I'm telling you.
All right, well, here's the thing. If your wife had that problem, and I walked in and very innocently said, hey, check out the camel toe on her, you're telling me you
did. Dude, come on. I don't know where you get off calling that innocently. It ain't working. I mean, you're trying to justify this in your mind.
Yeah,
you can't.
Just when it comes to another man's wife and her clothing and her appearance and anything, don't say a word. Don't even say a word.
So I'm supposed to sit there staring at that?
No, don't look at it. Just ignore it. And like he said, you might have one of the girls. Or you might go up and say, you know, them pants are inappropriate. There's a right way to do things. And the way you did it, believe me, she's going to explode. Her husband's going to get pissed off. Your wife's probably going to get pissed off. Everybody's going to be pissed off.
Which is what happened, yeah.
Okay.
And you're going to end up the loser.
Let me, Gary, if you walk up to your wife and grab her by the pants and give them a yank and she buys a camel sneaker, I'll give you a discount.
Okay. All right. Gary, thanks for the call here. 1-800-449-8686. So the camel sneaker is available now at your local sporting goods store.
I paid good money for that, so could you read that better, please?
The camel sneaker is available now at your local sporting goods store.
If you don't want to have camel toe.
And I will not say that. 1-800-449-8686. You're listening to the one and only world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Extreme Radio. Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
If you go to our website, philhenryshow.com, you can, A, visit our souvenir shop. And I would suggest that you do it very quickly, because guess what's coming up? You got it, Christmas, Hanukkah, and all that. So you can pick up a Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirt, a Jay Santos Citizens Auxiliary Police t-shirt, any one of our best of CDs, including, we're not going to have it in time for Christmas, are we?
It'll be done in about 15 days.
Including our 2002, what's the name of our CD? Oh, yeah, World Famous. So if you got a Phil Henry fan in your family, or maybe you yourself are a Phil Henry fan and you want to suggest something, go to our website, man. We've got it all there in our souvenir shop. And you can get something for everybody in the family in the Phil Henry Show souvenir shop in time for Christmas or Hanukkah. Whatever. It's the Phil Henry Show website, philhendrieshow.com. In the preceding bit, the voice of Steve Bozell, our guest, Mr. Bozell, that was actually my voice. And the people that called in believed him to be a real man. I think he's real. Those guys that call in and think he's real, I'm with you. I think he's real, too. That's just how nuts I am. Let's go back to the day before. Actually, Friday, Paul Tubby Lane was on our program, and he had a very, what I think, is legitimate concern and interest. Are there homosexuals in NASCAR? And if his son goes into automobile racing, will he be recruited by the homosexuals in NASCAR? Let's listen.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
My son's going into NASCAR, okay? I don't know if you know about racing.
Yes, I do, and I know about homosexuals, but if your son is straight, he's going to stay that way. He's not going to turn gay because some guy...
Excuse me. You know all about this?
Yes, I do.
How do you know about it?
Because I have friends who are gay. I'm not. I'm married. I have a child. But you're sitting here saying that you're not a homophobia.
How come nobody's ever talked about the number of homosexuals in NASCAR?
What difference does it make?
I just want to know.
What difference does it make if they are or they're not?
Because if they are homosexuals, they could try to recruit.
They're not going to recruit people. They do not recruit.
Excuse me, ma'am, but I don't have anything against homosexuals. But if they try to recruit,
yes, you do.
No, ma'am, I do not.
Well, it sounds like you do to me, because you're worried about them recruiting.
You two people can laugh if you want, but you can talk to individuals who know the homosexual... In NASCAR, I don't know whether they do it in any other sport, but the NASCAR homosexual, we don't know anything about. Will he recruit or will he not? That's all I want to know.
Oh, okay. So why don't we get Bill France of NASCAR to interview all the drivers, and if he finds any of them that are gay, ask him, and by the way, are you going to recruit other homosexuals? All they want to do is win a race. They want to drive their car and win a race.
Well, okay, that's typical liberal talk. You know, I've heard it all before.
I mean, this is just blowing my mind.
I'm saying that Bill France should publicize who among the 87 drivers on a NASCAR circuit is a homosexual.
Well, then what you're asking, whether it's NASCAR, whether it's football, whether it's a major corporation, to publicly announce...
You're outing people, and that is
unethical. Exactly right.
Even gay people don't out each other.
That's right.
Wait a second. Out them? I bet you they've already told Bill, look, by the way, I'm gay, but, you know... That's just on the PDQ.
What?
They're drivers. So what? They get into a race car. They have a job to do. You know?
I know they do. I got nothing against that, ma'am. I'm just saying.
They're not going to recruit. There are scientific studies that have been done. People that are gay are born with extra chromosomes in their body.
It's a scientific study. Ma'am, do you follow NASCAR at all?
Yes, I do.
All right. Yeah, okay. I would ask you very clearly, and you can laugh. Jeff Gordon, you don't think has some appeal to the homosexual?
Oh, come on, man. Now you're getting personal,
So what if he does?
Well, but then after the race, they wear their pants way up that could possibly lure a young driver like my son.
The only thing you're worried about is about your son and whether he is straight or whether he's gay. That's what it boils down to.
I'll tell you what I'm worried about. I don't want to see the day, lady, when my boy's got a shifter knob stuck up his ass while you're sitting.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
Oh, you left that little bit of just kind of dead air there for a second. Shifter knob stuck up his ass, then just dead air. Phil Henry Show. Very nice. There's Paul Tubby Lane. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. So did you see the latest from Michael Jackson dangling that kid out the window? This is a guy that's lost all touch with reality, or maybe he's got a good idea. I don't know what the kid did or said, but Michael was ready to pitch that kid into the street, and then he saw 200 of his fans standing down there, so he thought, oh, this maybe isn't a good idea, and he went back inside the hotel room. Did you see it? It was right on the news. He's in Berlin, and there's 200 of his dumb fans standing underneath that window as he comes out with this child and actually lifted the child's feet over the banister so that the baby was outside and of the protection of the patio, of the balcony. And Jackson's standing there like an imbecile for a few seconds and then pulls the baby back in. Now, look, I don't care if the guy gets all kinds of freak makeup. I have a serious question now with regard to some of his fans. I think the guy's music is good, you know? But why do you want physical contact with that guy? What's the need here to be physically close to a guy whose nose is dropping off? But nonetheless, you have a right to do that. I really am wondering now whether this guy drinks. Does he drink? Because he had the kid, like, right over the banister. Or, as I say, maybe the kid was crying and he couldn't get it to shut up, and he went outside ready to throw it, and then he saw the people and said, oh, I better not do this. You know, I think that's it. I think that's the one. I don't want to think badly of Michael, so I believe that he was trying to get some sleep. He had a concert tonight or last night or whenever it was in Berlin. He wanted to go fresh as a daisy, scrubbed up and looking his very best with a brand-new plaster cast nose put on, something, some silly putty. Somebody ran down to the store and they hardened it. We'll be done in just a moment here. All right, is the hair's good? Yes, the hair's good. Makeup good? Right. All right, bring in the sculptor, okay? Guy's crafting a nose, whatever he wants to do, and the guy's trying to get some sleep. The kid's screaming bloody murder. He decides, I know what I can do. I can throw it in the street. No one will think I did it. They'll think it was just some kid. Then he sees the fans, goes, ah, forget it. Yeah, that's it. That's the ticket. That's what Fox and CNN missed. 1-800-449-8686. You're listening to the only one, Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil Henry Show. And now, Phil Hendry.
Tell me about your friends.
Well, they're very good men. Ryan and Stu, they're two wonderful gay men. They live at the end of our street. The call came in yesterday afternoon at 2:30. It was Stu.
These two guys live together. They're gay men?
Yes. Call came in yesterday at 2:30. My heart is still racing from it. I'm still shaking. I'm so much in shock. I don't know what I'm going to do. Stu said to me, Bobby, I'm telling you this in the strictest of confidence. And I said, Stu, what is wrong? And of course now I can feel my mouth, it was going dry. And he said, Bobby, I'm calling to tell you this in case of any emergency. I think it's important for you to know, but I'm telling you this in the strictest of confidence, and my heart is racing. I said, what? And he said that I'd been diagnosed HIV positive. Please be discreet. Well, my heart started to palpitate. I tried not to show my feelings. I was shaking. We hung up. I had to lie down because I felt myself blacking out. I looked down. I had ruined my capri pants. I was absolutely stricken. I was in shock.
Boy, Bobby, hold on for a minute.
Yes.
I mean, I can feel what you're feeling. I got to tell you, though, that HIV positive people can take drugs now that have been developed so well that you can be diagnosed and live for years.
Oh, I know that. No, but I have to ask them to move because of this HIV. Now, here's the thing. Ryan was going...
Why do you have to ask them to move?
Well, let me finish. Ryan was going to use our street as a location for a movie he's working on. He's a producer. And I can't mention any names, but I understand that Bridget Fonda is involved, Janine Garofalo, and some others. So the dilemma, and I'm almost sick to my stomach, do I wait until after they shoot the scenes on our street to ask them to leave, or do I ask them to leave now? I mean, they're going to film right on our street, and our home could be in a movie. And after everything that I've been through the last 48 hours with him dropping this on me.
Now, Stu is the partner of Ryan?
Yes.
And he's the one that's HIV positive?
Yes. He's an entertainment attorney. But, you see, still in all, Stu, his boyfriend is HIV positive. If he starts blistering, if he has the runs, I will have to answer to the Homeowners Association. And this is with 6 weeks to go before our Wintertacular.
Well, why are you asking them to leave? You said you had an emotional response.
Well, it's not because they're gay. So please don't even go there. It's not because one of them is HIV positive. I mean, that is very 80s, Phil, and I can sense...
Well, you've got me thinking in that direction. You find out that one of them is HIV positive, and you're going to ask them to leave. You have me thinking in that direction.
No, not at all, no. No, I am not bigoted. Steve and I are very non-bigotry, and we don't have any racism in our home or our backyard or anywhere. Let me tell you something, Phil. Some of my very dear, dear, close friends are gay, and some of my closest girlfriends are lesbians.
And well, then why are you asking these guys to leave?
I have a duty as a Homeowners Association president,
To what? To protect people against the evil, AIDS-ridden gay people?
Phil, I'm not going to listen to this. Now, you want to paint me as a pedophile, you go right ahead. But I know in my heart I'm doing the right thing.
What are you doing? You're throwing out two guys because one of them is a...
I'm just not comfortable having that here.
You're throwing out...
I don't mind the gay. The AIDS, I think that's asking much.
All right, how can you legally ask them to leave? They bought the home, they pay their mortgage, they pay their Homeowners Association dues. How can you get them to leave?
There have been infractions.
Like what?
Well, they have been leaving their garbage cans out too long. There's parking in the street overnight. They've left their garage door up. I am covered legally. I think I'm... Steve, you...
Well, we're pretty covered legally, Mr. Henry. None of the garage door up is dirty.
So, Phil, you know...
Well, now you go from being good friends to asking them to leave because one of them is HIV positive.
They will always be friends. And we want them back for our Wintertacular. I asked Ryan for tickets to Dr. Phil, and he said he'd see what he could do. I mean, I hope he still gets me the Dr. Phil tickets, and he doesn't get petty and not get them for me because I may ask him to leave. And Phil, if this AIDS thing goes away, okay, and I want to make this statement. If the AIDS thing goes away and Stu is able to pass requisite blood tests, my arms are wide open. And it'll be my great pleasure at that time to say, on behalf of Western Estates, welcome home, but I am not anti-gay.
We're not anti-gay, we just don't want AIDS all over us.
All right, 1-800-449-8686 is the number on the Phil Henry Show. We're talking to Bobby Dooley, her husband Steve, the Western Estates Homeowners Association. You say you're not anti-gay. You say that your dilemma is whether you should ask these people to leave before they do a location shoot on your street or after. Tell me a little bit more about that.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't really get into that. These two gentlemen, Ryan and Stu, are gay, but one of them is a producer of Paramount. And Ryan said to me last month he wanted to use our street as a location for a film they're shooting. And I thought I was going to just scream with joy. I announced it at the Homeowners Association meeting. I told everybody. I was just really excited about it. And so then what happened was, this AIDS or this gay HIV thing, now I don't know what to do. Do I tell them to leave now or wait until the shoot? See, these are the things I'm wondering about. But I'll tell you something, Phil. I'm the Homeowners Association president. I know what's best for my people. I know what's best for the people who live here. And I think I speak for everyone listening to your program right now. You don't want that in your gated community. People that don't live behind gates, that's something else.
Uh-huh.
But if you live in a gated community, you don't want to have someone who's HIV positive using the pool, using your, our annual Hacienda Nights fashion show. Let me tell you something. I know a little bit about the gay lifestyle. Janice Greeley and I who's a very dear girlfriend. We worked closely on the steering committee for that fashion show, and we became involved physically. And it was innocent. It lasted only for the summer, but it really gave me a taste, if you'll pardon the expression, of what it's all about. So don't tell me how gays are. I know. Because for one summer, I was gay.
We're talking with Bobby Dooley about two men that she's throwing out of her homeowners association.
Please don't say that, Phil.
That's two men that you're throwing out of your homeowners association because one of them is HIV positive.
I speak for the American people, Mr. Hendry. When I say...
You speak for people that live behind gates?
Probably mostly people live behind gates. When I say we don't want that on our street.
HIV positive people.
That's correct.
1-800-449-8686 is the number. A couple of things here. And I understand that these two guys were responsible for your homeowners association and your gated community winning Gated Community of the Year in Spa Life magazine?
Yes, it was their home that did it. Their home is a jewel. They're wonderful guys, and I'm not racist, but one of them's HIV positive.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Bobby and Steve Dooley here. Two guys have got to go. One of them's HIV positive. We'll be right back.
1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Extreme Radio. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
You're not really serious. Bobby Dooley is with us, the president of the Western Estates Homeowners Association. You've got two gay men who have bought a home in your gated community. They pay their homeowners. They pay their mortgage. You're asking them to leave because one of them is HIV positive?
Unless we get some FEMA support money. And in that instance...
FEMA? Federal emergency money?
Absolutely, yes.
Why?
You know, Phil, the tone of voice you're using.
All right, why? Why do you need FEMA money?
Because the people who are in hurricanes get it. The people who are in tornadoes get it. The people who are in... I'm sitting, Phil, in a bar right now. I can count on one hand the number of times I've been in a bar. And I am sitting in a bar room in Newberry Park, California. I'm 10, 15 miles from my home. I've had a couple of drinks. That's how... worried I am hearing that we won't be able to film on our street if I throw them out now. I don't know what to do. But I want Western Estates covered in case there is an AIDS epidemic, and that's why we want FEMA money.
FEMA? Lady...
Phil, it is a disaster.
A disaster.
1-800-449-8686. Let's go to Peggy. Peggy, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Bobby Dooley, the Western Estates Homeowners Association.
Hello?
Yes, Peggy, go right ahead. You're on the air.
Phil, I'm just laughing at this person.
Mm-hmm.
Incidentally, I grew up in Redlands, California, and I now live in San Antonio.
Mm-hmm.
I live in a gated community. However, it's a condo.
Good. Then you know what I'm talking about.
No, ma'am,
then you know
I do
exactly
not.
Exactly what I'm talking about.
I think you're an absolute idiot. I wouldn't vote for you. I would not vote for you for dog catcher. You don't understand HIV. I don't know.
I'm the president of our homeowners association.
I don't care what you are. You don't know what you're talking about.
What if we have an epidemic?
You don't know what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
There are no HIV epidemics.
Oh my God, the whole country in America. Oh my God, the whole country has been AIDS.
No. You are way off base.
Mm-hmm.
And furthermore, you will not be able to do this. You do not have a leg to stand on, and you are by far one of the most ignorant people that I have heard on the Phil Hendry Show.
You know something, Peggy? First of all, They have left their garage door up. They've left their trash cans out. I'm legally covered. They have various citations.
I'm sitting at a gas station.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sitting at a gas station.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to get our car washed. But
that's
interesting.
That's nice. What's that got to do with?
I just want to say that you haven't a leg to stand on.
Well, have you ever been a homeowners association president?
Pardon me?
Have you ever been the president of a homeowners association?
Or are you just one of those people that just takes the services and doesn't say thank you? Wait just a moment, please.
Mm-hmm.
Would you believe that I just bought my condo from the man who was the president of the association where I'm now living?
Well, I met Sammy Davis Jr. once, but I don't know what that has to do with it.
He's a wonderful person.
Mm-hmm.
He's a wonderful person,
mm-hmm.
and I'm quite sure that he would have more sense than to think he could throw somebody out because they were HIV positive. You can't do that.
That's not what we're doing technically, because I left the garage door open.
That's what the reason will be. They left their garage door and garbage cans out.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
So we're covered.
And I suppose, what if your neighbors came along and said that you had a gay affair this summer, therefore you should be thrown out of the association.
Because it was with a woman, and you can't get AIDS from a woman.
Give me a break.
It was lesbian-like, and that doesn't create the AIDS bug.
Give me a break, lady.
Living in a gated community, you know it's against the rules to let your dog use the community lawn for doing its business. Now, they've done this. Now, what's going to happen when a child gets AIDS from playing in that stuff?
The child is not going to get AIDS from that. I've got to hang up. My husband wants to get our car washed.
Really? That's really interesting. Jesus.
I've got to...
Your car washed? That's nice.
Lady, I would... You're not a person that I would ever care what they said.
I was gay for a summer.
I need to hang up.
I was gay for a summer.
Good night.
Let me go over here to Melissa. Hi, Melissa. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi.
Hi. Her
name's Bobby, is that right?
Hi, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Are you concerned about safety, and
mm-hmm.
that's why you want them... So you're saying that the safety of your community
mm-hmm.
is less important than whether a movie is shot on your street?
No. What I'm saying is it's a moral dilemma. I don't know what to do. I'm probably going to ask them to move.
Okay, well...
But it is an opportunity.
It's called bigotry, even though you're saying that you're not bigotry.
No, I'm not.
Let me clue you in, honey.
I'm not racist.
You can't be gay for a summer. You either
mm-hmm.
are or you aren't. And you are very 80s, whether you say it or not, if you think that you can get HIV from a swimming pool or from a tennis court or from sweat.
Have you ever been a lesbian? He was putting his reputation on the line,
and I think he was being very forthcoming
mm-hmm.
with very important information that is then
right,
he was
which
being socially
he asked you
and
not
morally
to say anything
proper.
About.
Have you ever been
and
a lesbian?
And now you are stabbing him in the back as your so-called friend, and you
I
hope you still get your doctor
you
field tickets,
and
you still get
people.
Your movie made on your block. And I think that is the most ignorant, despicable, bigoted and disgusting opinion I have ever heard, and it makes me sorry that the people in America that
mm-hmm.
you think you are speaking for,
mm-hmm.
that you believe that that is our American people. I think we are brighter than that.
Mm-hmm.
I think we are more accepting than that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you need to get into the decade of the 2000s.
Well, first of all, have you ever been a lesbian? No. Do you
Neither
know what
have
it's
you.
Like? Yes, well, excuse me.
Neither
but
have
I,
you.
I was a
you
lesbian.
You are curious. You are experimenting. That does not mean that you live the gay lifestyle.
I
you don't
did
have
all
the
of the lesbian things.
You don't have the health concerns.
I did
you
all.
You don't have to
the...
come out to your family that
mm-hmm.
you are homosexual, and you don't have to come out to a neighbor with a trusting medical problem, being very morally,
mm-hmm.
being very morally upstanding, and saying this could be a concern. So I feel like I need to tell you. And now you're going to
kick
him out of your homeowners association.
I'm asking Mr. Henry's audience, obviously, to keep it in confidence. But
you're broadcasting on a radio show that's reaching 90 radio stations. Who's going to keep it
don't
in confidence?
Don't mention any names, but make sure you say Brigitte Fonda is going to be in your gated community. Big, fat, hairy deal. Just because you live behind a gate, honey, doesn't mean you don't live in society and you don't have to accept other people for what they are.
So
if you want to live like that, you can go live in Iraq.
Well, I guess this is about jealousy then. Is that what that's about? Bridget Fonda will be here to film a movie, and I'm sorry she's not in your town. Jesus. You know, I am.
Your grass
is
so tall,
sweetheart.
I did
all of the lesbian things that lesbians do to Janice Greeley. I was a bull dyke. It lasted for 3 months. I was.
Then you're not lesbian.
What do you mean
you
were a bull dyke?
I wore leather.
You either are or you aren't.
Are you a lesbian?
You can't be one way or the other.
I am in with the Rosie. So back off, sister. I'm in with Rosie. A lot of what...
Wait a minute. Are you a straight woman or are you not?
Yes, I am.
Really?
Then what the hell do you mean you were a bull dyke for a summer?
It was a mistake. We both got swept up in our emotions. It was a hot, warm, wonderful summer.
Okay,
some of the most lasting memories I'll ever have.
It was an experience. It wasn't a lifestyle.
And for me...
Were you a doctor for a summer, too? Were you an MD for a summer, too? Were you a Lebanese for a summer? Were you a Mexican for a summer?
What do you do for a living besides just make phone calls to radio shows?
I don't drink before I do it. I'm a housewife. I'm a mother of two.
A housewife. Well, whoop-dee-doo.
Well, that's all that you are. You're a housewife.
Hardest job you'll ever have.
I wore long pants to church for 3 weekends in a row. If that's not lesbian, I don't know what is.
Honey... I think you're calling for attention.
Absolutely.
And I'm not going to give you anymore.
Okay. I thank you very much, Melissa, for your call.
You didn't like that long pants line?
No.
Not even remote?
No, it's... And you know what, Bobby? One of these days you're going to call my show with the good news that you not only have been voted out as the Homeowners Association president at Western Estates, but that they tied you to a windmill and set fire to it as they were doing it.
Why, you dirty...
That's what I got to say to her. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show. Reminding you, our website is philhenryshow.com for all of the latest big news on the Phil Henry Show, including, who was that guy that just did that guest voice? You mean it was Phil himself? You mean those people that called in thought it was him, or they thought it was a real person? All that stuff. You'll figure it out, man. Go to our website, philhendryshow.com.
1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. Show 1-800-449-8686.
Okay, sorry, Bobby, are you there?
Yes.
Bobby, the attitudes you're expressing on my show about taking a gay man and throwing him out of the Homeowners Association because he is HIV positive is so 80s, is so 20 years old. I can't even believe we're even talking about this on a modern talk show. That's how old it is. You won't find people doing that anymore. You find an understanding of this disease. You find an understanding of its origins, of its treatment, of how it is transmitted. We are far more educated today than we were 20 years ago. And for you to say the guy using the pool or the toilet or this kind of thing may create an epidemic of AIDS at your association makes me think you've been in a time capsule, that you have been locked inside of a time capsule for 20 solid years.
Well, Phil, you can say what you want, but Western Estates Homeowners Association was the community of the year 3 years in a row in Spa Life magazine. Channel 6 did live coverage of our Hacienda Nights fashion show.
See, that's what I'm talking about.
What?
That's exactly what I'm talking about. You're stuck in the Hacienda Nights fashion show and the Spa Life Community of the Year award. You're talking to me like this is still 1955, not 2002.
I was going to say, in addition to Janice Greeley and I having a lesbian affair for an entire summer, I also experimented when I was in college. And if you must know, my husband Steve has asked me to do things to him sexually that only another man could do.
Okay, I don't want to hear this.
No, you're going to have to hear this. You people have indicted me for...
I don't want to know about your sex life. How did we get to your sex life talking about two guys that will lose their home, one of them being HIV positive?
Phil, do you know what a strap-on is?
I don't want to know about it. What, are you going to tell me now that your husband was gay for a summer because you had a strap-on? Good God, woman.
That's
all right. I can defend myself. I've been yelled at by better men than you, Mr. Henry, before.
Congratulations. Gay Lynn, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hi.
Hi, ma'am.
I just wanted to address Bobby.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, I'm a very well-educated woman regarding this matter. I serve on two different AIDS Coalition research groups. I have watched and stood by. And
were you a volunteer? Do you volunteer?
No, I serve on the board.
Mm-hmm. What does your husband do?
What does my husband do?
Mm-hmm.
I would think that's totally irrelevant. I'm the one calling.
Well, I just wondered how you make your living. How do you support your children?
How do we make our living? I'm a dentist. And on top of this, anyway,
You're a dentist?
Yes, I am.
It's interesting, you know. Did you go into dentistry because you were interested in speech impediments and things like that?
In what?
In speech impediments.
No, why?
Because you have what's called a lateral lisp, don't you?
All right. You know...
Okay, well, you know, actually,
you,
now that you've brought
you know,
that up...
Really, it's
you
just
know,
not...
Like, no, let
I,
me address...
No, I noticed it. That's okay.
Let me address that.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, I do have a lisp, which I don't think is the issue. I have
no,
three
it's
college,
not the issue, Gaylene.
I have three college degrees. I have an album that I have recorded of gospel music that is out in Nashville, Tennessee right now.
What city?
I have a strong faith in my God.
In what city?
I have overcome many obstacles.
In what city?
I just want to know
the city that the album's available in. What city was that?
Nashville, Tennessee.
Nashville, Tennessee?
That's correct.
Okay, watch the joking around. You want to come on here and talk about a man you're throwing out of your community, then you make fun of a lady's lateral lisp.
Thank you. And the fact of the matter is, I lost my brother in 93 to HIV. And if you want to get technical...
HIV?
Okay, I'm going to hang up if I get one more...
Did you lose him to HIV or HIV?
If I hear one more crack...
You know, the sad thing is, what makes our society horrible for our children growing up are the bigoted, idiotic idiots that we have to live around that can't respect people for being humans, for having one heart and one mind.
I agree.
That is true.
I totally agree with you, Gaylene.
Well, then you need to take a look at this individual that you were getting ready to evict or throw out or whatever because of your precious lifestyle and consider the fact that this guy has probably accomplished more in his lifetime with HIV than you ever will with or without it.
Excuse me, but I just got done telling you we've been in Spa Life magazine 3 years running.
I don't care if you've lived in the White House for 3 years running. You cannot put a price on somebody's life.
Cocktail and Patio magazine rated us...
Who cares?
I don't care who rated
you.
Don't care. Anyway, like I said, I pray to God that as my children
like
grow up in society, they do not have to run into idiots like you.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Oh, just going to throw your hand grenades and run, huh, Gaylene?
Oh, I'm not going to run. No, I'm not going to throw hand grenades.
I mean, just because I made a couple of jokes...
Are we going to grow up here, or am I hanging up?
But you know what?
Are we growing up, or am I hanging up?
You know what, Bobby? Your jokes don't offend me. Your jokes don't offend me.
Why not? I was always able to make the girls at school feel depressed.
I'm sure you were with a strap-on, but that's not relevant.
With a strap-on?
You're talking about satisfying people, not me. I'm telling you that this individual that has HIV has one heart, he has one mind. And I think that you are an idiot for judging somebody because you're in no position to judge anybody.
Can I say
something? Don't care where you live.
Don't care
how much you make because I'm sure I make twice as much as you do on a year.
Well, let me just say this, Gaylene. You may make more money than me, but it's called a strap-on, not a shrap-on.
All right, I'm hanging up.
No, wait a second. You can...
Gaylene, you made some very good points. I hung up on them. They're morons.
They are, and, you know, like I said, it's unfortunate that we have to live in a society where people do that, but they're there.
She shows by the seashore.
All right. Anyway, Galen, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You. It's called a strap-on, not a shrap-on. 1-800-449-8686. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Extreme Radio. Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Hey, this is the Phil Hendry Show. The voice of Bobby Dooley in the preceding bit was performed by me. Now, coming up on our show, we have a flashback featuring R.C. Collins and his belief that the guys over there in Afghanistan ain't getting the job done, so a new generation of soldier will be needed, a new generation of soldier who will go over there and find bin Laden, but the payment for this new generation of soldier, namely him, they have to suspend all laws and let them smoke all kinds of pot and do heroin. I don't know. It was something like that. I forget. I think we were on heroin when we wrote the bit, quite frankly. But first, a little word about our souvenir shop. You know, friends, Christmas, Hanukkah, whatever all those Kwanzaa, whatever those bullcrap holidays are that are coming up, you won't want to miss out on the Phil Hendry Show souvenir shop. Yes, that's right. Go into our souvenir shop, get the Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirt. It's a perfect shirt for the guy or guys in your family. Comes in all the sizes, small through extra, extra large. So if you got a big, fat slob of a husband, it'll fit him, believe me. And the Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirt is a perfect shirt to wear either casually, bowling, or, you know, for formal events. In fact, some of you guys ought to get together and start your own Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirt league, right? A team? Then there's the Jay Santos Citizens Auxiliary Police T-shirt. It's black and silver, perfect shirt to wear under a leather jacket for the winter months or, I don't know, whatever. I'm not a fashion plate. I don't know what you'd wear with it. Wear it with underwear. Go out and get your, wear it with jeans and go out and get your paper with it. And then, of course, we have all of our best of CDs from 1997 on up to 2002. In about 2 weeks, we're going to have our, by the way, you know what we forgot to put on the CD, Chris? We forgot to put the disclaimer for mature audiences only, you know, not intended for children. It's on my audio CDs from the last CDs, but did we put that on the new artwork? Okay. Anyway, it ain't for kids. So dig it. It's all there, and it's a perfect Ramadan gift, as a matter of fact, for the towel wrapper, for the Islam person in your family. So go to our website, philhendryshow.com. Now, from yesterday's show, R.C. Collins.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
Young fellow, you've got a lot of growing up to do.
Sir, may I ask you a question?
I'll try to answer it.
When you were in the NAM, did you go to brothels in Saigon and places like that?
No, sir.
What do you mean when he was in the NAM?
Well, that's what they call it.
What?
You guys called it the NAM, didn't you?
We call it NAM.
And you guys weren't about to not let some guys get R&R just so some lame ass in from the world could get his beauty sleep, right?
Oh, will you come on, quit quoting movies?
You've got a romanticized idea or an idiotic idea. I don't know which I would rather phrase it as, of what the military is like.
All I'm saying, sir, before we go over there and neutralize bin Laden the way he ought to be, we should have a pass on different laws. We could commit a felony and
no, sir.
Drugs.
No, sir.
And take drugs, too.
No, sir. No, sir. You have no excuses, no reasons for taking drugs, no reasons, no excuses for committing felonies. If you commit a felony, in the first place, you're never going to get in service.
Sir, can I ask you a question?
I'll try to answer it.
Are you Johnny Cash?
No, I'm not Johnny Cash.
You sound just like Johnny Cash.
I'm sorry, but I'm no relation to him either.
Hey, sir, which word would you die for, freedom or boontang?
Oh, come on, kid. This is
Phil,
talking about...
Phil,
yes,
where did you get this fellow from?
He's a young man who called from a military academy. You know, there's all kinds of kids out there that want to live the life. They want to be John Wayne. You know what I'm saying? And, They're all, you know, they got all kinds of attitudes.
You don't pull pins out of hand grenades with your teeth. Oh, John Wayne, I don't know where John Wayne ever got that idea from.
Hey, are you Johnny Cash or Foghorn Leghorn?
All right. Jim, I thank you very much. If you want to screw around, kid...
I've got one thing to say, Phil.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
God help this country if we got to depend on them to defend us.
Could you see Ring of Fire?
I saw Ring of Fire.
There, see,
I have listened
Johnny
to Johnny
Cash. It's Johnny Cash. How's your liver?
Bill Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
A smart-ass punk kid. But funny, R.C. Collins, that guy did have a very distinct Johnny Cash ring to him, didn't he? All right, our number is 1-800-449-8686. It's Phil Hendry Show. And along with our souvenir shop and the gifts that are available there, don't forget, by the way, to get your backstage pass. All of the audio that you hear us do in flashback form or 30-day archive form can be found on the website. Do you ever get the feeling that we're really pushing that website? Well, you're right, because you need a subscription, and more subscriptions, the more subscriptions we rake in, the more money for me, the sooner all of this hell can be over with. The sooner this can all be done with. All right, Michael Jackson... The word just came in. The guy was dangling that kid out the window because they used part of his brain for some of that nose enhancement. So, maybe that was it. What a marvelous guy. I heard a thing on the news today that I hope I misunderstood. I hope I misunderstood. I heard that an organization of Muslim parents want to have some religious... have the availability of religious, some form of religious exercise for their children in public schools. Now, you got to be putting me on with that. How long have you lived here? How long have you, if you've lived here long enough to go through all that prayer in school stuff, you have got to be a colossal imbecile to bring it up again. Man, we just got over with the Christians and that prayer in school bit. Now we got the Muslims going to want to do it? It ain't going to happen, man. The one thing they did say, though, that I agreed with, I guess, and, you know, the reason why this is happening is because of everything that's going on in the Middle East. But the one thing they did say they were entitled to, which I agree with, was holidays. If you got Christmas, and you got Hanukkah, and you got Rosh Hashanah, and you got Easter, which are all legal holidays, you're allowed to take those off, why can't they bail out on the Muslim holidays? Whether it's a 30-day fast, or whether they're taking off St. Muhammad Day, or they're going to take off St. Bin Laden Day, or whatever they're taking off, they ought to be allowed to do that. I think it's right. I think it's only just. But forget about bringing some religious tuition into the school. We just got done with that. It's been nothing but a canker sore. That whole prayer in school thing, and then can there be a religious group on campus thing, and that for not to mention that the Christians got it in so deep into the school system that they wanted to debate whether certain bits of science would be taught, right? So let me get at this, if I'm hearing correctly, if the Christians can work in their anti-evolution theme, then what do the Muslims believe? And what are they going to try to work in? Maybe they think the whole thing was a ball of camel turd, and we all evolved out of that, and we're going to have to work that one into the curriculum. What do you think? Think I'm kidding? Now, this is all happening because of everything that's going on in the Middle East right now. It's almost like it's a vindictive thing, like they, you know what, we're going to really get them back now. They want to bomb Iraq, they want to bug us about Bin Laden. Here, take this, we all evolved from a naval orange. Now, we got to put that into the curriculum, because it's what Muhammad taught. Oh, come on, please, no. You guys did it for the Christians, you got to do it for us. Come on, do it. Hi, kids, I'm Mr. Fenley, I'm your science teacher. As you know, we've been teaching you lately that... evolution, which, by the way, is just a theory. Evolution debate continues with the creation theory, which, of course, is very valid, too. And the creation theory is that God made us all at one time, and there was a big explosion, and we were here, and there was Adam and Eve, and they were the first people. We also have one other theory, and that is the naval orange theory, which I want to work in here. What the hell is that? I don't know what it is. The towel head said I have to tell you. It's the naval orange theory to go along with the big explosion and Adam and Eve eating an apple theory to go along with we all evolved from monkeys. So take your pick. And thank the Muslims for one thing, man. At least they're giving us a third in a, you know, this kind of more picks than just the Adam ate the apple and Eve did the snake, or was it the other way around? I forget. While Eve was doing the apple, Adam was doing the snake. So you don't think there was even Adam and, or what do they call it? Adam and Steve? You don't think so, huh? What do you think Adam was doing with that snake while Eve was eating that apple? So I heard this. I said, you, please. No. It's only going to cause more rancor. It's only going to make people more upset. And while you wear the towel in public, it's certainly your right. Understand that it's only going to get people more pissed off. I would suggest a fine bouffant hairdo or something. Now, we realize that as Muslim women, you're kept under wraps because you're so gorgeous that unless you keep that towel on your head, we're all going to want to take you out to a Britney Spears concert or to go out and see Jackass or 8 Mile. I know you're all just so, you're all such a knockout that you got to keep that veil on your head. Otherwise, that we'll just go crazy and we'll want to have you for our girlfriends forevermore. Because obviously those Arab and Afghan men, they got the greatest taste in the world. They got to put bags over the heads of 300-pound women. Otherwise, it's all they can do. You'll have to sew their pants shut. But I would suggest, while you're on the news in America, take the towel off, maybe a nice little mullet. I think you got to trade in the towel for the mullet. That's working your way back up the ranks. Or a beehive. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil Hendry Show. Extreme Radio. Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
As you know, we let go our intern, Bud Dickman, not too long ago. I thought the character of Bud Dickman, a character that I invented, sucked. The voice was cartoony. His jokes were stale. He blew. Now, there is a radio board. It's a message board called Radio... It's called Coast to Coast Radio Board is what it's called. It's a message board where you go on and you rap about radio. And God, I hope these are people that are not in radio. I hope these are just regular radio listeners. Can you imagine guys in radio going online and, hey, you know, I did a bit on my show yesterday. I think these are just listeners. And the company I work for is a company called Clear Channel. This was under the headline. So when you say this is a headline, Janice, does this mean it has its own strand, its own thread, or whatever it's called? That was the initial response to the... It was what? It was... The initial bitch was this. Clear Channel, too cheap to keep interns. And it is posted, and it says, the recent staff reductions at Clear Channel's premier radio even extended to an intern. The intern on Phil Hendry's show got the axe on Halloween. Bud Dickman has been with the show for over 10 years, but still got fired. Phil has mentioned that numerous comments have coming to Bud's defense. I believe interns are not paid, so why would Premier fire someone that does not cost them money? So now, here are the response emails. Somebody emailed to say, what's shocking is that they are doing this at the same time announcing record profits and earnings. Go figure. Another person says, interns in California and in most states must be paid legal wages. There are very few cases today where an intern is accepted. Many people who got into radio in the 60s and 70s did so by just hanging around a station, eventually learning enough to be useful and paid. Don't blame radio. Blame your state and federal legislators for cutting off the learning opportunities and the occupational opportunities. And here's another one. If he's been there 10 years, he's not an intern. Now they begin to get the clue, and the person says, are you sure that it isn't one of Phil's hoaxes? And here comes another one. I have to laugh at this thread. Ha, ha, ha. Bud Dickman is one of Phil's character voices, one of the many he does so well. You people hate Clear Channel so much that you're willing to believe anything. Hey, I got a bridge or two to sell you people. And here comes another one. Stop it, all of you. I'm laughing way too hard. My sides hurt. What part of "and the voice of Bud Dickman was done by me, Phil Henry," don't you understand? Besides, if you follow the storyline, it wasn't Clear Channel who fired Bud. It was Phil himself. And yes, Phil has checked in. Bud is pretty busy with the ladies. Like Phil says himself, 99% of the listeners are onto the joke, but it's the other 1% that we make fun of. And then finally, hello, McFly, it's a gag. Did you dig all of that? So that was on the Coast to Coast radio board over the last couple of days with people responding to the firing of Bud Dickman. 1-800-449-8686, the number here on the Phil Henry Show. And the other things that we wanted to mention was that James Coburn died, and I was not really a big fan of James Coburn. I thought he was okay, but I thought Lee Marvin was better, frankly. I thought James Coburn was sort of like a poor man's Lee Marvin. But anyway, the guy was in a bunch of movies called In Like Flint. And they were private eye movies. And did you know that In Like Flint was based on a phrase, In Like Flynn? Do you know what In Like Flynn's comes from? Yes, exactly. Chris Pelton, my engineer, knew it exactly. In Like Flynn is what they said because Errol Flynn was accused of statutory rape. And so the phrase In Like Flynn became popular. How sick is that? You must be a big fan of Errol Flynn's, huh, Chris? Especially his sex with underage girls part. So here we live in a society now, and at a time when, of course, this is all looked down upon, and rightfully so, but a very famous Hollywood star was not only active with underage girls, a phrase, In Like Flynn, was popularized based upon his activities with teenage, underage girls. I just love it, man. The more I read about all of the icons of the 20th century, the more things get exploded. The more the good old days gets exploded, the happier I am. The happier I am, because it does one thing. It neutralizes all of those people that wanted to proffer for a long time that traditional family value baloney, which started with things were better 20, 30 years ago, which anybody who ever lived 20, 30 years ago knows that they weren't. And then when I find out that Errol Flynn was as much of a scumbag as he was, that even makes me happier. And of course, when I get on the air and I talk about the truth of Joe DiMaggio, people don't like that either. And, you know, on and on and on it goes. I remember the time I was talking about Joe DiMaggio being a real worthless, cheap skinflint of a real nothing of a human being. And, oh boy, it was just, hey, what have you ever done, Henry? Have you ever done anything as good as Joe DiMaggio? No, I haven't hit in 56 straight games. You're right. I never did that. Sorry. I wasn't on a world championship baseball team. But I got to ask you this question. Exactly how important is that anyway? Other than the fact that 80,000 schmucks will go out on any given day to go watch him play baseball, how important is it, right? So then you got Errol Flynn, who played Robin Hood and a whole other bunch of phony baloney movies, and the guy's a scumbag. So I got an idea for our website. I want you to work on this, Chris. Great scumbags through history. We'll start off with Joe DiMaggio. We'll go down there with Errol Flynn. We can move on to, if we have the time, Sheriff John. I'm kidding. Sheriff John was a great guy. Great guy. Super guy. Just people that I uncover under the rock of history, I will just, I'll toss into the website there for you to, and we'll have links with stories about their lives. Guys like Ronald Reagan, I'm joking about that one, too. Watching Oliver North, there's a guy. How did that guy get you talk about people who you find out were actually scumbags, and then they're the guys that got rehabilitated historically. How did Oliver North suddenly become a good guy? Where'd that happen? Here's a guy that broke the law, started doing things behind the back of Congress. I don't care whether you like Congress or not, but he did it. Not only is the guy now got his own talk show, which somehow they're keeping afloat, he's on television, rambling on with his nonsense about whatever the hell it is he thinks he knows, about whatever the hell is going on. Oliver North, same thing with Liddy. Oh, that guy's, that's beautiful. And I don't get it with Liddy either, too, man. Advertisers must be buying that guy's show based on the fact that he's got the name G. Gordon Liddy and he ate a little rat meat once. And, he gave it up in prison for a few of the brothers. Because G. Gordon Liddy, that show is... Oh, never mind. I don't want to bang on a guy's show. But it's just the fact that Art Bell sounds like G. Gordon and is so much more interesting.
I'm G. Gordon Liddy.
I'm Art Bell. You know, there's not a lot of difference. And Art, you're a way better G. Gordon Liddy than Gordon Liddy is. Because you're nuttier than Liddy. In a mano a mano, shotgun to shotgun, my vote's with Art. Who's goofier? Art. G. Gordon Liddy ate rat meat once, and he put it in his book, and he's supposedly some kind of a hero. That's all that they eat at the Bell residence.
And so I think that G. Gordon Liddy, borrowed some of his, the sound of his voice from Art Bell. And so let's read some more Steve Bozell lawsuits because I've got no material.
All right, anyway, our number is 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Real dirtbags of history. We're going to be putting them into our website. There'll be a special link. We're leading it off with Errol Flynn and Joe DiMaggio. And if you can think of any others, we'd be more than happy to, you can email us, phs@philhenryshow.com. More than happy to throw them in there. We're just going to start blowing up myth after myth. Just begin to shatter icon after icon. Just, not because we're mean guys, it's just kind of fun. It's just neat to learn. Benjamin Franklin, I understand, was a real turd. Apparently, that PBS series, which is it's on tonight, Benjamin Franklin wasn't the big, avuncular, happy, rotund, fat uncle that everybody thought he was. You know, the guy that wanted to make the turkey the national bird, and he flew a kite and electricity and blasted him out of his shoes, and he was just one solid old guy. Apparently, he had a serious coke problem. I'm joking. You think that cocaine was that relevant in colonial America? I think he was snorting heroin, but I don't believe it had anything to do with coke. All right, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, Extreme Radio. One 800 449 8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Hello, welcome everybody here to the Staples Center. It's time for the Tuesday night fights. Monday night fight. What day is this, George? George Foreman's with me.
Larry, I think it's Tuesday, but I'm not sure.
He's got a Punchy Sanderson now. Punchy, what day is this?
I'm pretty sure it's Tuesday, this is the day I knocked out Sugar Ray Robinson. I got Sugar Ray on the ropes. He knocked me out, though, but it was on a Tuesday.
All right, so Tuesday you got your brains rattled, right, Punchy?
I'm pretty sure it was.
And how was your fight career?
Good fight career. I had Barrett taking good care of me. My manager was Judy Johnson, a good guy.
Where is Judy now?
Julia's living right now in Paris, France, has a house and everything.
Really, what do you do for a living?
Right now I work over at, the gym. I slap buckets, carry out, slap buckets and clean up spit and loogie off the floor and blood and everything. But fighting is great, great sport and good to me.
Well, there you have it, folks. That's the great thing about fighting, taking one of the great fighters like Punchy Sanderson and turning him into a punch-drunk piece of crap just before your eyes. Yes, what a sport. And then, of course, we have another a very nice guy by the name of George Foreman. George, how's the fight game been to you?
Well, I tell you, I fought till I was 43. I got my brains cooked around pretty good. I got that hamburger maker. My cheeks are all fat and rosy. I look like one big, fat, bald, black Santa Claus. I'm living large. I eat too much, and I'm not slap happy, but you can slap me. It doesn't matter to me.
Well, let me try it.
See, I don't care. I just smile and I laugh.
Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have a very big fight here. And coming into the ring right now is the champion, one of the great boxing champions of all time, Vernon Forrest. Yes, Vernon Forrest, the welterweight champion who unified the IBF and IBO titles back in July with a big upset there of Shane Mosley. And of course...
Excuse me. I farted. That's why I...
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
He's falling. You want to clean that up?
Forget it, Punch. You don't clean up a fart. Go on, sit down over there. All right, ladies and gentlemen, so Shane Mosley, of course, is going to be in the ring here. Shane Mosley, excuse me, was the one who was beaten by Vernon Forrest. Tonight, Vernon Forrest will defend his title. And here comes the challenger now into the ring. Into the ring comes Michael Jackson, the great singer, dancer, performer. He'll be fighting Vernon Forrest tonight before a sold-out capacity crowd here at the Staples Center in Los Angeles. What can we look for in this fight, George?
Well, I think Michael Jackson, he a real freak. You know, he looked like he's got, what do you call it, leprosy. The nose falling off, the eyeballs are coming out, the hair, the ear are going to fall off. So good thing he's not fighting Mike Tyson, you know.
I mean, Mike wouldn't want to bite that ear, would he?
Well, there would be no ear to bite because it all had falled off the head, you know. But I'll tell you now, I think Vernon Forrest is going to take this guy apart.
Well, I don't think there's any doubt about that, champ. I think Vernon Forrest, one of the great fighters of all time, the great welterweights, 34-0. I mean, this guy's been knocking people out since 1992. I don't think there's any problem he's going to have here with Michael Jackson, a skinny, bleached-out freak who moonwalks and does all that freaky crap. What do you think about that, Punchy?
Yeah, I like Michael Jackson very well. Very well indeed.
You like him as a fighter or as a singer?
I've never seen him fight. I'm sure he's very good, though.
Jesus.
Hey, Punchy, man, how many fingers am I holding up?
I'm pretty sure it's three.
Well, I got it 2 inches away from your nose. Jesus.
All right, and into the ring now will come the challenger. And that's Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson. Now look at his fans there. They all love him. No matter what happens to him, his nose, his eyeballs, his skin turns brown. He throws babies out of windows. 15 floors up, they'll still love him. Listen to that crowd cheer for Michael Jackson. And into the ring now comes Vernon Forrest. And Vernon Forrest and Michael Jackson over the center of the ring. They'll get the
All right, you guys, I want you to come out and have a clean fight. I want everybody to just touch hands and feel each other's crotches and fall in love. I want you to lip lock and feel each other's asses up. Have you understand that? All right, let's have a good fight.
All right, there we go, and the first round is underway. Michael Jackson and Vernon Forrest. Vernon Forrest, he of the 34-0 with 26 knockouts in his career. The right welterweight champion against Michael Jackson, the singer, dancer, and all-around weird-looking guy. Jackson, and there's a right hand thrown there by Vernon Forrest. That's got Jackson up against the ropes, but Jackson comes back off the rope. Jackson now feeling him up, hand down his crotch, hand in his own crotch. That's Michael Jackson, but he hasn't got his hand in some other guy's crotch. He's got his hand in his own crotch right now, his own crotch. Michael Jackson bobbing, weaving, dancing, flitting around, twirling around. Looks like a real fag out there. And then, now Vernon Forrest hits him with a left. There's a left to Michael Jackson's jaw. And there's another right. But Jackson comes back with a flurry. Jackson comes back with a right, a left, a body shot. He's got Forrest up against the ropes. And there's the end of the first round.
Man, that's something else. I didn't think Michael Jackson stayed 30 seconds with him.
Well, it is surprising. Michael Jackson, in that first round, with a flurry off the ropes after being tagged by a Vernon Forrest right hand, comes back and pushes Forrest up against the ropes, and I've got that one 9-6.
Nobody cares.
Well, I thought that...
No one cared. You win a jug.
All right, I just thought maybe I... That's the beginning of the second round. Michael Jackson and Vernon Forrest here. And Jackson comes out with another sharp left. There's a sharp, beautiful jab. There's a couple of jabs there. Up against Vernon Forrest. Forrest comes back with a flurry now. He's got a right hand. And Jackson, of course, he is able to block that deftly. But the left hand comes around the roundhouse. The left hand around house. And he backs him up against the rope. And there's another left. Jackson now having to move backwards. He is bobbing. He's weaving. He's dancing around there. Gonna have to do the old rope-a-dope. And he does. There's a right hand to the body. That's the end of the second round. Well, I'll tell you right now, I had that one even. What do you think about it, Punchy?
I always love the fight, and I've always...
No, not about your career. What did you think of the fight? And how come the crowd keeps going away?
I fought it again.
Would you do me a favor and not do that anymore? What do you think, Punchy?
I love to box, and I work at the gym right now carrying slop buckets.
Beginning of the third round there. Vernon Forrest and a surprising Michael Jackson, who's going toe-to-toe here with Vernon Forrest. And they come to the center of the ring, and they are toe-to-toe now, feeling each other out. There's a couple of right hands that don't score. Now a couple of body shots. Ooh, there's a left hand by Michael Jackson. Got Forrest. Forrest backing up now. He's kind of backpedaling. He's on his bicycle, trying to get away from Jackson. Jackson stalking him. Another left hand is a body shot. Jackson hits him with a body shot. And it looks like Forrest just saved by the bell, huh?
Man, I'll tell you something right now. That bleached out brother. Ooh, man.
Well, here's a word from George Foreman's hamburger maker, whatever the hell that thing is. It's burning.
Yeah, I burned the burgers, but man, they come out black just like me. See that? Burnt to a crisp, cooked all the way through. There ain't no such thing as rare with a George Foreman hamburger maker. Can you believe I'm selling these things, man? Going on 10 years. There's some chump housewife in Iowa, man, always ready to buy one of these. And here's Punchy to tell you more.
I always love the fight game, and I carry slop buckets over here.
All right, here's the fourth round. Coming out here at the Staples Center in Los Angeles, California, it's Vernon Forrest, the great IBO-IBF welterweight champion against Michael Jackson. Surprising, isn't he?
I can't believe that freak brother, man, his nose falling off everything.
And now, and of course, I saw in the corner there, his cut man was putting his nose back on. I don't ever think I've seen that before.
Man, that's freaky.
All right, into the center of the ring goes Vernon Forrest. Forrest now doing a little bobbing and waving himself. And he gets out. Oh, there's a big right jab shot into Jackson. The nose is off. The nose is completely off.
Well, I knew that had to happen sometime tonight.
No doubt about it. And there's a left hand. There's a little right. And a right hand. And now Forrest is backing up. Another left for Michael Jackson. There's a right hand. And a left. And I think he's got him down. I think he's got him down. Yes, he does. Jackson's got him down.
Well, let's see how this goes.
Gonna have to hear what the referee says. I can't hear a damn thing. The place is pandemonium. What are they saying?
Why'd you quit yelling?
Oh, I'm sorry. What are they saying?
I think it's, yeah, that's right. It's a TKO. Michael Jackson won the fight.
So Michael Jackson has beaten Vernon Forrest here in 5 rounds on a TKO, a technical knockout.
He really opened up the eye there, too.
What do you think about that, Punchy?
I carry slop buckets.
We'll be right back on the Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil Henry Show. Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Everybody making a big thing about this tanker that busted up off the coast of Spain and Portugal. They're calling it the you've probably heard about this. You probably have been, as much as you've been trying to get away from all of the noise today, you've probably heard, you can't help but let some things sort of leak through because they just keep beating it into you and beating it into you and beating it into you until you start bleeding from the nose. You know what I mean? You know, all you want to do is just peace and quiet. But every time you turn around, flip on a television set, flip on a radio, all those stories that somebody else thinks are important. And today, the one that's just been pounding and pounding like it's give it a rest.
Massive oil spill taints Spain's coast. Could be the worst environmental disaster in the history.
Over and over again, man. Just back it off already. I get it. A big tanker broke apart and there's a bunch of oil. Is this somehow something new in the experience of the human race? We've had oil spilled all over this place. You talk about if the human race was one guy, we'd be one kind of sloppy guy, wouldn't we? Let's just say the human race was one guy. We'd be sort of badly dressed, a little sloppy but well-intentioned. We'd have a bad mood, but we'd also enjoy life pretty well. We'd probably have a slight drinking problem, but nothing too serious. We would work very, very hard, but when we got home, we'd mess our house up. There, that's it. That's the human race as one guy. Now, let's say if the human race was one woman. Well, we'd make a lot of money walking the street, and we'd, I don't know whether we'd do that or not. Would we? Would we be, if we were a woman, would we be a good cook? So they're just pounding away on this and pounding. Okay, so there's a massive oil spill. Somebody's going to pay for it. It'll probably wind up being us. What do you want to bet? I'll give you 10 to 1 odds, man, that this oil spill off of the Spanish coast, America, somewhere along the line, we got to kick in. I bet you we got to kick in. You know why? Because I bet you the oil was heading towards us. So the UN or somebody will say, well, you know, really your stuff, so you're going to have to kick in. We'll kick in. And the other thing nobody is going to say anything about what they really ought to be talking about is, how do these things break apart? An oil tanker broke apart. The Exxon Valdez, remember that? It was some juice hound at the wheel, and he ran aground. He was drunk, and he ran it aground. Now this one, it broke apart. It was in a storm. It was in the middle of a storm of some kind, and it broke apart. I mean, I don't think it's anybody's fault. It's just a big oil spill. they could maybe make those boats not like, you know, pencils. They could make them maybe a little bit stronger. I don't know. Maybe we ought to fly in the oil or something. They're going to make this somebody's fault is what the point I'm trying to make. It ain't nobody's fault, man. It was a storm. It busted apart. A whole bunch of damn pelicans got oily. And I know how we can do away with the problem. We won't use oil from the Middle East. I've been saying this for many, many years. I know. Let's not drive cars anymore. We won't have to buy any of the ragheads' oils. We won't have to take their crap anymore. And we can just come home, sit back, suck a lollipop, and watch a ball game. And all the rest of them can just go pound sand. Do I feel bad for the sea life? Well, if I were to project human feelings onto sea life, what, you telling me like this sea bass is depressed? It's, you know, it'll live or it'll die, depending. We don't have enough sea bass. We seem to have plenty of sharks. Every summer, some guy's getting eaten by one. So maybe the oil spill will kill a few of them. You know, some people... People project, one of the problems, I think, with the animal situation, animal rights, which I'm in favor of treating animals well, I'm in favor of not using animals for, you know, needless experimentation, although in some instances it's necessary, but I don't project human feelings onto animals. I don't think my cat gets sad. I don't think my cat gets sad or lonely or scared. See, we leave, and we have the kitten now, and Marie and I put the kitten in our room because we don't want the big cat killing it. Because the big cat's a big, fat tub of guts, and the little kitten, you know, if the big cat fell on it, it'd snap its neck like Christopher Moltisanti did with Adriana's dog on Sunday night when he sat down in a heroin daze and he snapped the dog's neck. Did you see that last night? It was a riot. So if we go away and it's dark, I'm not worried that the cat will be lonesome. Or frightened because it's dark. It's a cat. Cats live in the dark. They dig it. They can hunt and all that stuff. Same thing with whales. As much as people want to tell me the whale is smarter than me, I don't believe so. I don't think dolphins are smarter than me. I'm going out a limb, but I don't think they are. I know that the real bad George C. Scott movie, Day of the Dolphin, tried to make the case that dolphins had a language and were planning on building a biodome. Did you ever see that movie? Oh, you want to... Do yourself a favor. Take a handful of acid and watch that movie. Day of the Dolphin. They ain't smarter than me. I ain't too bright, but there's no way a dolphin's smarter than me. No way. So when the sea life gets damaged by the oil, I don't think there's a mollusk down there crying. I don't think the sea bass are bumming. I don't think there's otters and sea lions, you know, like an incredible journey, you know, with their fins around each other, helping each other to shore. You know, they're not talking. This is not a Disney movie, although I wish it were. I don't think there's the mer people, the mermaids, and the guy thing. What's the guy? Oh, merman. Well, of course. I don't think the mermaids and the merman are weeping down there in Davy Jones' locker for the little smiling mollusk that's going, "Say, you can come into my house." I wish the world was like that. I want it to be like that. And some nights, when I've had enough Bushmills, it is like that. But not when I'm a working man during the day, sober and enjoying life. No way. So the tanker broke up. It's going to be oily. Clean it up and shut up. World's biggest oil spill. Other news, more proof that football players are really incredible people and unique people. A group of football players, seven players from the North Carolina school Methodist College, were arrested recently on hazing charges for some locker room horseplay that included a pack attack on a freshman player who was stripped of his underwear while being restrained. The players allegedly wrote on the frosh's butt with a marker, smacking the victim numerous times on the rear end, according to reports filed by campus cops. Wide receiver Antonio Wilkinson, a 21-year-old Methodist senior, was also charged with sexually assaulting the freshman athlete with the Sharpie marker. The Methodist players, six of whom are starters, were suspended following their November 14th arrests and missed the team's final game, a 20-12 loss. But I'm sure once they look into it, and after all, slipping a Sharpie marker up a guy's butt, what's the problem with that? They'll be reinstated next year. And Methodist College, go! Some schools don't need a football program. I think Methodist College just fell into that category. Methodist College. They had a big game coming up, man. You know, the final game of the season to who? Shenandoah University. And if you look at these guys, they look like football players. Dumb, thick-necked, dopey-looking, heavy-lidded. They look like ball players to me. Couple of white guys in there, a couple of black guys. Yeah, they're football players with the big thick necks and the big dopey looking stupid look on their face. Look at this one guy here. And this must have been the guy who,
man, wait till I get that Sharpie. I'm going to take it your rear end.
Let me tell you one thing. I'll say this about animals. They're not sticking Sharpies in each other's rear ends. That's the one thing I will say for them. And that's the reason enough, as far as I'm concerned, to make sure that they all survive. Every last one of them. But there's some football programs we don't need. And, you know, if you listen to this program for any length of time, you know I don't care about professional athletes. I don't have any interest in what they got to say about anything. I like watching them play ball. But when they become personalities beyond the playing field, when people start, you know, the wit and wisdom of John Elway and trying to put them on TV commercials. And although those TiVo commercials with Joe Montana and Ronnie Lott were kind of funny. But football players particularly, you know, the Terry Bradshaws of the world who are considered comic geniuses of their age. You know, Terry Bradshaw is considered just a barrel of laughs. That's what I'm against. Just talk about football, Terry, and leave that aw shucks, bald-headed, Louisiana, Cajun baloney to somebody. You know, Cannonball Run was fun, Terry. Sorry the truck didn't finish you off. Just leave the ball playing to the ball players and the wit and the wisdom to, you know, the really funny guys like my friend Craig Taylor. But when they start taking Sharpies and shoving them up each other's rear ends, that's when you say, well, I think the football program's had it, Coach Brown. Why? Why? Well, one of your players shoved the Sharpie up another guy's ass. What do you think about that? Well, we were just coming around, man. I mean, I got the defense. I don't care about the defense anymore. What about the bowl bid? Yeah, the bowl bid, the Freedom Bowl, man, I don't care about, okay? The Shenandoah Poulan Weed Eater Bowl, I can do without. You come into my office last year all excited because we made it to the third annual Earl Shive Bowl. I don't get, what do we get, $20,000 for that? Forget it. Game's over. I want out. What do you got there?
Rubber gloves.
What are those for?
I gotta get the Sharpie out, don't I?
So that's what we're dealing with. Okay, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, Extreme Radio.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
M&M's boyhood home is on eBay. They listed it on eBay. Apparently, as best as I can tell, M&M's uncle, Todd Nelson, sold the house. What's this kid's name? Marshall Mathers, right? Sold the house this month for 45 G's to a Utica, New York attorney, Sebastian Lucido, who bought the house with a Macomb County commissioner and real estate developer by the name of Roland Fraschetti. Now, Mr. Lucido and Mr. Fraschetti bought this house for $45,000. It's a 1,300-square-foot home, has three bedrooms and two baths. It was built in 1940, and it's been in M&M's family for at least 50 years. It's very interesting. These two cats buy the house, stick it up on eBay. They already got $1 million bid. Doesn't it bug you how just dumb we all are and how smart some guys are? Now, I don't want to call Eminem's uncle dopey, but, dude, you may think Eminem is some kind of, you know, jive, flash-in-the-pan, you know, commercial product, but this guy just had a movie open at $54 million. And he's the real deal. So here's the uncle one day he's chewing on some hay straw, and down the road comes some big city, what they call him in a small town? You know, some big city asshole comes down the road and whips out the checkbook for $45,000. Maybe it's more money than Todd Nelson ever saw in his life. And now these guys are putting this house up on a site for $1 million. Now, some of these bids they say might be bogus. And they could be. I mean, I would. In fact, I'd like to go on eBay right now and bid $2 million. Because if, you know, what are they going to do to me if I can't? They'll break my leg, sure. But other than that, a couple of whops, I mean, a couple of very nice guys like this, I'm sure they'd snap my legs, but they'd say they're sorry. What does eBay do if you don't pay? They just pass over and go to the next serious bid? They give you some kind of a bad mark, like you're a bum? Eminem's uncle, Eminem's uncle, Todd Nelson, sold a house this month for $45,000. And as I said, it's a 1,300-square-foot home. Some of the bids could just be people showboating, but you have to figure with that number of people, some have to be legitimate, Frischetti told the local newspaper. The website, which includes pictures of the home, had over 18,000 hits in less than 4 days, according to Mr. Lucido. Bids on eBay will be accepted until December the 14th. At 5 p.m., at that time, the sellers will get in touch with the highest bidder to work out a purchase agreement. Boy, this is what you call being a very smart middleman, because this kid's career right now is at a place where it could continue to skyrocket, or it might tail off. You don't know. So what do you do when you get Eminem's house? Hey, baby, you put it up for auction. You remember the guy that got a hold of, which ball was it? Was it, oh yeah, it was Barry Bonds' 71st home run ball? Yeah, like it ain't worth jack. Because the dude that got number 73, now that's the ball, right? And when Mark McGwire hit his 63rd home run, or whatever, it was 62nd home run, well, that went diddly compared to the one that he hit that was number 70. I mean, there are guys out there that are jumping out of buildings now. There's guys out there that are just ODing on second all by the bottle full. 1 minute you think you're flush, and the next minute you are bending over and taking Sharpie markers, just one after the other, by the entire varsity squad of Methodist College. Thanks a whole holy hell of a lot, Charlie. So you go out and you buy the house, and you know what? Don't call Eminem's uncle a moron. I mean, obviously nobody was advising the guy. And maybe he was constrained in terms of how much money he could ask for it. I don't know. But all I do know is the uncle got $45,000 for the house, and they just got a $1 million bid for it on eBay. If I were Eminem, I'd have his uncle killed. I mean, I'm just kidding. Huh? 13 miles from Detroit. What about that? There must be something I got at my house that's worth money. I don't know what it is. There's got to be something. Right now, the high bid on eBay is $750,000 for Marshall's pad. So the $1 million bid was a load of old crap. $750,000, though, for a $45,000, 1,300-square-foot, three-bedroom lean-to in Busted Whistle, Michigan, I'd have to say is quite a tidy little taking for the day, wouldn't you? 1-800-449-8686. The kids would fetch a nice price on the black market, too. If you want to get right down to it. If I'm Eminem's family, I start selling it all. The kids, the everything, whatever they got. Just start park. You know, what is it? It's Eminem's nephew. Don't look like him. Believe me, he'll grow up. He'll be blonde. Will he rap? Yeah, yeah. Well, okay, I'll take him. Yeah, come on, rap for the man. Ah, he sucks. Now, come on, he'll be good. He's only like 2. All right, I'll take the kid. What do you want for him? Yeah, you know, what you got? Some of that bubble up in 35 G's. All right, the Phil Henry Show website, philhendryshow.com. You got to go to our souvenir shop because Christmas is right around the corner. And with Christmas and Hanukkah and all the other gift giving that goes on, Kwanzaa and all that stuff, you've got to get the Phil Henry Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirt. Yes, the Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirt is a beautiful royal blue and black. It has a hand-stitched Ted's of Beverly Hills insignia on the back of the shirt, as well as a beautiful Ted's of Beverly Hills insignia over the left breast. The shirt comes in all men's sizes, small through extra, extra large. And, of course, they're women's sizes, too. And you can get the Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirt in our souvenir shop. The delivery is 2 to 4 weeks. That's why it's really important for you to order now. 2 to 4 weeks would put you just, you know, just this side of Christmas. Additionally, our J.A. Santos Citizens Auxiliary Police T-shirt is, I keep seeing this picture of Michael Jackson hanging his kid out the window. What a joker. Oh, look, the kid just fell. Oh, that's too bad. Look at that. He's tomato bisque. Anyway, get that Jay Santos Citizens Auxiliary Police. Oh, look at that. Michael Jackson just fell, too. Oh, now he, okay. Yeah, he just go to the souvenir shop on our website. We appreciate it. And, of course, all of the money from the sale of our CD goes to My Friend's Place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood.
1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Extreme Radio.